the story came up about my camera on the moon, and my story of this, Uri can chime in here. My story was, I said, Uri, if you're good at teleportation, there's a camera I left on the moon that has a serial number on it. NASA knows about it. Bring that back, and you'll really be a famous guy. Well, of course, what I didn't tell him, it was anchored to that little cart that we used to pull it around. So it weighed a couple of hundred pounds. It's a little difficult to bring back. Anyhow, the offshot of that was the next day we were in the cafeteria at SRI and having lunch, and all of us sitting around the table. And I kind of have a feeling that Uri's mind was going on Ed Mitchell's lost camera, how can I get that back, and et cetera, et cetera. But what happened instead was, as we finished our lunch, Uri asked for some iced cream. And I had the waitress, we were sitting right next together, had the waitress bring a dish of ice cream. Uri took a couple of bites out of this goblet that had the ice cream in it, and cried out in pain. Blood came to his lips, and he took a chunk of ice cream out of his mouth, and I washed it off in the spoon in my glass, and discovered it was an emblem that looked like a hunting arrow, a three-fluted hunting arrow with a ram's head on it. And I held this up to the crowd and said, gentlemen, look at this. They said, what is it? And I said, well, I don't know, but it looks like the emblem on a tie pin that I had that was in a jewel box that I lost a couple of years ago before Uri and I ever met. And so the scientists and the mathematicians started computing the probability that something looking like Ed Mitchell's tie pins would show up in Uri Geller's ice cream while we were doing experiments in psychokinesis. Ha, ha, ha. So I put it in my pocket, and we went back to the lab to start the afternoon's work. And I went into the inner lab to set up the afternoon, and Uri helped put off a number of the other people, including Shippy, and five or six people were standing in the outer room. And all of a sudden, I heard a plink, something hitting a tile floor outside, and looked out just in time to see Dr. Puthoff pick up something off the floor. And then I said, what is that? And he said, well, here it is. He handed it to me. And I said, well, that's the tie bar that this ram's head emblem goes on. And so, ha-ha, what's the probability of two things
exactly
showing up in all of this? So back to work again. Puthoff and I went on to the inner lab and started to work with Uri and the rest still standing outside. With just the two of us in the room, suddenly a third object just seemed to drop to the floor. I reached down and picked it up, and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. I reached down and picked it up, and Puthoff said to me, what is that? And I said, well, it is a pearl stick pin with a silver shank and a brass clutch back on it. And he said, what's that mean? I said, well, I had a silver... a pearl stick pin with a silver shank and a silver clutch back that my brother had sent me from Japan when he was in duty over there a few years ago. And I had lost the silver clutch back on it and put a brass clutch back from my Navy wings on it. And it was in the same jewel box that I lost with these other two objects. So here we had three objects that Uri and his rambling mind had suddenly picked up in cyberspace somewhere and presented them to us without anybody touching it. It just appeared in these things. So it's quite a crazy story. It's not good science, but it sure is awfully good anecdotal
stuff. It's a great radio story.
Right, and I still have those in my safe here 30-some years later.
Uri, what's your take on this story? What happened?
Well, you know, I wish I knew the technicality of what happens when a teleportation occurs. I simply can't explain it. I know that it happened. It blew my mind because you don't find metallic objects in your ice cream, do you?
Not normally.
And, and what an odd object it was. I had no idea that this belonged to Ed. The first thought that came to my mind was that, you know, someone at the factory or wherever they manufactured the ice cream, something fell into the ice cream. But when Ed said, hey, this is mine, you know, I just realized that, yes, there was a teleportation. It came from somewhere. You know, the object that Ed lost, he lost it, like he said, 2 or 3 years before he ever met me. And I realized that there was something out there telling me that, hey, Uri, forget bringing the camera back. This is what's going to happen. And when the whole typing came together, it led me to believe that there is either a thinking entity behind this phenomena, or your mind can assemble certain things from the past, and in such an order that is just so extraordinary, it is so astonishing. I had similar occurrences happen to me in the past, but it certainly doesn't happen every day. And I tell this story, you know, to people, and they look at me and they say, yeah, sure, come on, this never happened. This is a great story, but it's made up, isn't it? And no, it's not made up. It really, really happened, and you'll have to believe us. Definitely, you'll have to believe Ed. But isn't it mind-blowing? I mean, I'm sure that all your listeners now, at least whoever is not skeptical, says, you know, this is, wow, how can these things happen? But they do.